Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.
The human cost of immigration enforcement. Hello again, I'm Armin Alney, and this is Which Way LA, KCRW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. Operation Return to Sender is the latest program for rounding up undocumented workers and deporting them to their home countries. When a workplace is raided by immigration officials, suspects are taken away without getting a chance to collect their property or even their children. Tonight, how many kids are being left behind when families are broken up? We'll talk to opponents and defenders of a controversial program. Also tonight, undocumented workers and birth control. First, here's the news. Warman Alney back with Which Way LA on KCRW. Immigration enforcement means that some families are broken when adults are deported and kids are left behind, kids who often are citizens of the United States. We'll debate a controversial policy tonight. But first, this story. The Bush administration wants California to make sure that poor women are legal residents or citizens before they get free help with birth control. That policy could be very expensive. That's according to Clea Benson at the state capitol for the Sacramento Bee. Clea, good to have you with us.
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Explain this policy. What exactly is it that the federal government is demanding of California?
Well, the federal government wants California to start applying a new federal law to people who walk into clinics to get birth control. This new law says that anybody who gets Medi-Cal services has to provide a birth certificate or some other documents to show that they're legal residents. And the federal government wants to apply that to people who are just getting these limited services. Now, ironically, the federal government also does cover prenatal care, so even for undocumented immigrants. So if people aren't here legally and they don't get birth control and they get pregnant, that could incur costs to both the state and the Bush administration.
What about the cost of the background checks?
Well, that's true, too. The annual price of providing somebody with birth control or family planning services at a clinic is about $261, but it's $514 just for the background check, which has to go through a county worker who does the screening and stuff like that. So that's part of the reason the state hasn't been doing official enrollment procedures for these people who just get these very limited medical services.
So the state hasn't been doing it, but the federal government wants it to. Is that right?
That's right. This is all part of a new push to get everybody who gets any kind of Medicaid services to certify that they're here legally, even though, as I mentioned, you know, some of the services that the federal government covers are available to folks who are undocumented, like prenatal care.
Clea Benson, reporter for the Sacramento Bee. Stay with us, if you will. I want to introduce Mary Jane Wagley, who is president and CEO of Planned Parenthood here in Los Angeles. Welcome to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What are the implications of all of this from your standpoint?
Well, from our perspective, this just puts up a barrier for anybody coming for family planning care, and especially for citizens. And it's not, it doesn't make good fiscal sense, and it's not good common sense. Family planning is something that needs to be available on a timely basis. If it's not available and someone gets pregnant, that's far more expensive to the state and to the federal government. And is having accidental pregnancies is not what anyone wants. We all want women to be able to get access to family planning so that they only become pregnant when they're ready to have a child for all kinds of reasons.
So you're saying then that it's more expensive if people get pregnant and have children. Will they have to be cared for here in the United States, even if they're the children of undocumented workers?
Absolutely. Any baby born in the United States is a citizen and is eligible for services. And, you know, the Family Pact program that provides family planning in California has been shown to be extremely effective, cost-effective, as well as effective in reducing unintended pregnancy rates in this state. So a dollar spent on family planning today saves about $5 over time in costs that otherwise would have to be paid by the state and the federal government. This program will just make it cost more to provide those services and likely prevent even citizens who just don't have access to their paperwork or for whom it will take 3 or 4 months to get that access it will stop them from coming in for family planning and backfire in the end.
That was the question I was going to ask you. So some of the citizens that are involved are presumably citizens, the result of unintended pregnancies who turn out to be citizens because of being born in the United States. But you're talking now about women who are citizens already. How is this a burden to them?
Well, many people don't have their original birth certificate or a certified birth certificate. People move all over the United States. There are people who are homeless. There are teens who don't have access to that and who need confidential services. There are just a whole range of populations for whom this creates a barrier, and not a barrier that we want them, that any of us really want them to have. We want people to be able to have family planning and avoid unintended pregnancy.
Mary Jane Wagley back to, is president and CEO, again, of Planned Parenthood here in Los Angeles. Clea Benson up in Sacramento with the Sacramento Bee. Has this come to the attention of the governor's office?
Yes. In fact, I mean, it's very interesting, of course, as you know. I mean, we have a Republican administration here in the state of California, but they are very heavily lobbying the Bush administration to change their mind on this. Right now, the state has an agreement with the federal government for this federal funding for this program, and it is being extended on a month-to-month basis while they're at this impasse with the state saying, we don't want to do these checks, and the federal government saying, you have to. I know the government, the governor himself has spoken personally with Mike Leavitt, the head of Health and Human Services in Washington, and you know, folks underneath of Schwarzenegger as well have been discussing this. And it's, at this point, it doesn't appear that the federal government is willing to budge on it.
What's the apparent reason for this? Is it an objection to birth control? Is it a desire to save money? Is it an immigration issue?
Right.
Where is it all coming from?
Well, I think that the initial impetus for this law, which applies to people in all of Medicaid, not just people who are getting this birth control, was an anti-immigration initiative. However, they clearly are just sticking to that as the policy for every possible program under Medicaid, whether or not it might pencil out financially. I wish I could give you a more detailed answer on where they stand. The Center for Medicaid Services back in Washington didn't get back to me with a response when I called to ask for their comment on this. So that's just what I'm gathering from what I've read elsewhere.
It would appear, though, that it's politically dicey in a number of different ways for the Bush administration.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think that there's some unintended consequences here that, you know, you could, if you end up having unintended pregnancies among folks who aren't here legally, those children, if they're born in the United States, will be citizens and eligible for Medicaid coverage. So that's exactly the opposite of the philosophy that they've espoused up to this point. So I do think that it's it doesn't seem that everybody is, you know, really following on the same page here.
Should say the CTR at Washington didn't get back to us either. Clea Benson, again, with the Sacramento Bee. Back to Mary Jane Wagley here in Los Angeles with the Planned Parenthood. Do you have any way of estimating how many people might be affected by this?
Well, in other states where this regulation has been put into effect, they've seen drop-offs of as many as 20 to 30% reduction in the number of patients coming for family planning services. That would be such a tragedy because California has really led the nation in reducing the number of unintended pregnancies, and the last thing we all want is to go back in the other direction.
So again, 20 to 30%, if it were that order of magnitude, how many people would that be in California, or let's just say Los Angeles?
I would say that would be somewhere in the order of about 40,000 people a year, 40 to 60,000 people a year.
And
in Los Angeles County.
How many of them, roughly, would you imagine might have unintended pregnancies as a result of not getting assistance?
Well, the chances, if you don't use birth control, of becoming pregnant are 85%. So that could be, let's see, let's figure that out. That's about 25,000 unintended pregnancies. Which would lead to more abortions as well as more children born when their families weren't ready.
Okay, you're better with math than I am. So suppose, let me go back to Clea Benson, that roughly 20,000 or so children were born as a result of unwanted pregnancies, the state then would be required to take care of them.
Well, yeah, if their families were otherwise eligible for Medi-Cal coverage, if they were low-income families and they met the other requirements, and if those children were then citizens because they had been born here, then yes, they would be eligible for free or low-cost medical care on the the federal and state dime. One thing I want to say too is that statewide, I think that this program provides services to about 1.5 million people. So the numbers are probably even bigger than those just for Los Angeles County as well, the numbers of unplanned pregnancies among that group.
Okay, so we're talking about a statewide issue here.
Yes.
All right, well, thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for paying attention to this important issue.
Clea Benson, a Capitol reporter for the Sacramento Bee, and Mary Jane Wagley, President, CEO of Planned Parenthood in Los Angeles. I'll be right back with Which Way LA.
For more information about Which Way LA or to sign up for the free podcast, visit kcrw.com/whichwayLA. CD copies are also available. Call 1-800-600-KCRW.
We're in only back with Which Way LA. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, launched Operation Return to Sender in May of last year. Some 18,000 people have been arrested so far. About 250 have been deported. Many more will be. And in some cases, children are being left behind, even though they are citizens born in this country. Angelica Salas is executive director of CHURLA. That's the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles. Angelica Salas, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
How big a problem is this from your point of view for children, and particularly children who are citizens of the United States?
Well, I think any time a young child suffers any type of trauma, it's a problem. These children are not part of the debate on immigration reform. They are simply want to be with their parents, their mother, their father. And what often happens is that these parents are being picked up by ICE, Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement Unit. They're being picked up in their homes. They're being picked up at work sites. And then these children are left without parents, many of them who are U.S. citizens. But independent of their citizenship, the fact of the matter is that these families are being separated. So it's a problem when you have young children who are without their parents, and when you have a policy that instead of uniting families is actually separating them.
What about children who are older, who are of high school age, for example, but still not adults? Are there a good many of them involved, and do they then have to make choices?
Well, every day in America, people are being deported. Families are being torn apart. Many of the teenagers actually have to have a very difficult conversation with their parents about whether they're going to stay or whether they're going to go. Now, many times when people are deported, they're deported to their home country without a single penny, without a home to go back to, without anything. And so many times the parents make the difficult decision of having the children stay because there is no way to survive with absolutely anything in their home country. And so sometimes they stay with relatives or they stay with caring people in their community. In certain situations, they're in foster care. In other situations, there is really no choice to have that conversation. People are picked up and they're separated. These teenagers often decide to stay. I know enough young people who now are sort of on their own because their parents have been deported.
Angelica Salas at the Coalition for Humane Immigration Rights of Los Angeles, CHURLA. Stephen Camerata is Director of Research for the Center for Immigration Studies, group that advocates stronger immigration enforcement, and welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
Is this just? Is this right?
Well, I think that whenever you try to enforce the law, there are always individuals who may not actually have been part of the law breaking, who pay the consequences. Whenever we incarcerate a person, that person very often is a mother or a father with children, and we've deprived that child of their parents, which can be very disruptive to their lives. But the fact is, the notion of enforcing the law, the rule of law, requires that we punish people. In the case of illegal aliens, requires that we send them home. We can't now say, well, because that person has a child, we're not going to enforce the law, because it looks like somewhere between 25 and 50% of illegal aliens have U.S.-born children. So if you're not going to enforce the law, if you're not going to do it because they have children, then you're basically not going to do it. And as I say, We do it in other circumstances, and that's with a case where the parent is U.S. born and so is the child.
Is there some cutoff point where enough people have been left without support in this country to be on their own, when enough families have been broken up, that you might want to either adjust the law in some way or perhaps change the law?
Well, I guess the other thing to keep in mind is that the United States basically always lets you take your children back with you, and almost every country would take them back. Most every country will offer citizenship to a child born of its nationals in the United States. So it's not that a parent could never take the child back. In fact, in the vast majority of circumstances, they would. But I think the point to emphasize here is, who's to blame for this situation? You have a person who knowingly and willfully comes to the United States, secures false identity, works in the United States illegally, and exposes their children to this situation, and to act as if the individual who's knowingly and willfully violating the law has no agency, no responsibility, I think is unfair. Now, obviously, any notion of justice must always be tempered with the idea of mercy. And at some point, you might want to make some exceptions in some cases. But if you're going to say that the fact that someone has a child here means, well, we just can't enforce the law, then the whole system would completely break down.
Stephen Camerata with the Center for Immigration Studies. Back to Angelica Salas with Churla. Immigration authorities are quoted in some reports as saying that in some cases the parents involved had evaded deportation orders and notices for a long time, as much as 10 years, ignoring the law. What about that?
Well, I think that this is all part of a bigger problem, which is really about our immigration laws. And the fact of the matter is that there are 12 million, maybe more, people who are undocumented in this country and who have either gone through a system that does not allow them to actually stay where their home is now, many of them who have been here 10, 20 years, who are not doing anything but contributing to this nation, and that there is no opportunity for people to legalize their status in this country. So, of course, it is more possible that people will have deportation orders than actually are allowed to stay in this country, even though they've gone through this legal route that a lot of people want folks to go through. And so what we just feel, it's really fundamentally our laws are broken, our immigration laws are broken, we need to fix them. We don't fix the situation by doing these mass deportation, these raids across the country, because ultimately we have to ask ourselves, are we solving the problem? And these raids do not solve the problem. Separating families does not solve the problem. What solves the problem is actually reforming our immigration laws so you actually are realistic and you recognize that you have 12 million people here who have been here for many, many years and who need to have legal status. You fix the situation by actually creating legal channels by which people can come into this country so they don't come in undocumented. And you actually do that by actually recognizing that there is a labor demand in this country for these individuals, that they are individuals that are not just workers, but that they have families, that they have children, that they have wives, and that they are more than just units of production, but human beings who want to be with their families, and so that you actually adjust for that, and you actually uphold the values of this nation that has always recognized the family unit as the core and central part of its immigration system. So
let me interrupt you and go back to Mr. Camerota. So we get back to the question of how many people, where's the line, and at what point do you have to be, to use Angelica Salas's term, realistic? What about the proposals now being made by the president and others to have at least some kind of path to legalization? Is it time to take a look at that?
Well, I think we should always be reevaluating our immigration system. But look, we allow over 1 million people to legally settle in the United States permanently and go on to get citizenship if they would like, every single year. That's 10 million people a decade. That's many more than any other country. We allow hundreds of thousands of people into the United States on long-term temporary visas each year. There are 26 million or 27 million legal immigrants currently living in the United States. So the idea that the problem here is, well, we're just not letting enough people in, seems silly on its face. In some ways, what we've done is we've let so many people in, and this has created a lot of social networks and drawn a lot of illegal aliens in. But one thing I would say...
Well, wait a minute. Isn't it true, though, that they come here in order to get jobs, and they're encouraged to come here to get jobs by employers who want to pay them, often less than the minimum wage?
Well, there's no question that there are lots of guilty parties here, and obviously the illegal alien is first and foremost. But clearly unscrupulous employers who knowingly and willfully hire illegal aliens, who push here for in Washington so that the law never gets enforced. You've got Congress, you've got successive administrations. So, yeah, there's a lot of blame to go around. Again, I don't want to take the blame off of illegals, but they're not the only culprits here. They're part of the problem, but they're not the only problem.
Well, then what about the kids? Does the United States, in the given that families are broken in the enforcement of the law, have any responsibilities to the children who are left behind, particularly when they're too young to fend for themselves?
Well, as I say, the vast majority of children go back with their parents because that's just the normal course of things.
Well, what about those who don't?
Yeah, most will be placed with a relative. Almost none end up, and this has always been true, in sort of as wards of the state. But it is very important to keep in mind who created this situation, and the number one responsibility here is the parent themselves, who knowingly and willfully violated U.S. law.
So, Ms. Salas, back to that one. What about it? The fundamental responsibility comes with the original violator.
No, I think first and foremost we have to look at this law. And I think that it is a law that actually supports undocumented migration, because then you have a labor force that is able to be exploited. And I really believe...
How does the law encourage
that? Well,
because,
well, I think that the law right now is unrealistic. Because, and I'll give you an example. From Mexico, our neighbor, for many, many years, it had a very stable legal entry. I mean, we've always had undocumented migrants into the United States from Mexico. But in essence, in the past 10 years, their legal ability to come into this country has been diminished by 50%. At the same time, 85% of the people coming in from Mexico are undocumented. It is clear to us that if you're not going to provide legal visas for people to come into this country, even though you're demanding their labor, you are going to have undocumented people.
Okay, so Mr. Camarada, does the law itself then create the problem?
I mean, let me just say, as someone who spends all of his time on the numbers as a demographer, I don't know what she's talking about. Legal immigration from Mexico has generally increased every year for the last 10 years. And in fact, we've tried the increase in legal immigration and have an amnesty approach. In 1986, we legalized 2.7 million illegal aliens, and legal immigration, that is the number of people allowed to permanently resettle in the United States, is roughly double what it was in the mid-80s when we had the amnesty, and yet we have many more illegal aliens. Legalizing illegal aliens and dramatically increasing legal immigration doesn't work. It just stimulates more illegal immigration on top of it.
That's okay, Ms. Salas, your response to that.
Restrictive policies have ballooned the undocumented population. Why? Because the individuals that are coming in who are undocumented, there used to be circular migration. People would come in, work for usually in agriculture, usually in tourism or seasonal jobs, go back home. The situation, the militarization at the border, the incredible enforcement, the death at the border has made people actually, you've created a situation where all the restrictions actually balloon the number of undocumented. So all those restrictions that we put in the past 10 years, and starting with 1986, because 1986 gave, yes, it provided amnesty for 3 million people, but for the first time in the history of this country, we had employer sanctions. It's a restriction. In 1996, we had further restrictions, both of legal migrants and also what they call the 3- and 10-year bar. So anybody who is currently undocumented today, if they've been undocumented for more than 6 months, they have to wait an additional 3 years. If they've been undocumented and have a chance to legalize their status and have been undocumented for 1 year, they have to wait an additional 10 years to legalize their status. So we've created restrictions and penalties and all types of punishments in order to make it difficult for people, one, to come in legally, two, if they ever get a chance to legalize their status and make it and be legal in this country versus being undocumented.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Mr. Camarota, if you can briefly respond, we're basically out of time. We have another 15 or 20 seconds. Go ahead.
No, it's almost certainly wrong. The illegal population ballooned dramatically in the 70s, in the 80s, and even through the first part of the 90s, before we had, like, Operation Gatekeeper and Hold the Line. The reason is the United States failed to take even the most elemental steps to enforce the law. We never went after the employers. We let illegal aliens get in-state college tuition, driver's licenses, and cross the border easily.
All right. We started out talking about children. We ended up with some of these vast issues having to do with immigration. And once again, the issue will be before the Congress again this year, we believe. We'll see if anything happens. But both of you, thanks very much. Stephen Camarota with the Center for Immigration Studies and Angelica Salas with CHRLA. Which Way LA was produced tonight by Christian Bordahl and Katie Cooper, Technical Director Mike Newport. I'm Warren Alney. Join us again for Which Way LA on 89.9 KCRW.
Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.